الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. I want to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this life, وَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, which means when the time of death comes, it will not be delayed by a sa'ah, by even a second, and it will not be brought forward by a sa'ah, by even a second. The word sa'ah is translated as different quantums of time, but Allah knows best. The point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us again and again in the Quran that the time of death is fixed, and when it comes, it cannot be delayed and it will not come before its time. So if it is not the time for you to die, then you will not die, no matter what. And we have seen many such cases. Most recently, it was reported in the papers, I think yesterday I read it. There was a famous Olympic pole vaulter, Sergei Bubka, absolute legendary athlete. His son, with the same name, fell from a fourth floor balcony onto the concrete. He fell four floors and he broke many things. They operated on him for 9 hours, but he is fine. He is recovered. So he is, you know, he's alive and well. So when the time of death doesn't come, it doesn't come. But at the same time, when the time of death comes, it cannot be stopped. And it cannot be delayed. No matter, every hospital in the world is witness to this one fact. And I think that is something that we should really look and see with the eyes of understanding, with the eyes of Ibrat, that when you look at a hospital, what are you looking at? You are looking at an institution which has been formed in order to give this message to the world, day in and day out. 24 hours, that وَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, that when the time of death comes, it can neither be delayed nor can it be brought forward. Every single hospital, no matter, and not only no matter, the bigger, the more famous, the more sophisticated the hospital, the more loudly it is shouting out this message for anyone who has the ears to listen to that voice. Because hospitals, what are they saying? They're saying that we can't do anything. They're saying we cannot do anything. No matter how sophisticated our equipment is, no matter how expensive that treatment might be, no matter how highly qualified and experienced the doctors might be, there is a point beyond which they all have to lift up their hands and say, this is out of our hands. We cannot do anything. And we have seen cases both of where somebody was discharged from the hospital to say, this person cannot be cured, this disease has no, just take them home and let them die in peace. And that person walked for 30 years after that. I know a case personally of a friend of ours in Hyderabad who lives literally on the parallel street from here, who was diagnosed with cancer, went to Houston, did everything possible. I mean, their money was not an issue. And they did every single treatment possible. And finally, the doctors in America, they put up their hand and they said, sorry, this cannot be done. She is going to die. Just take her home. They took her home. While they were sitting there, somebody suggested that they should go to Mexico for nature cure treatment. And there they went to Mexico. I mean, they were completely, they said, well, she's going to die anyway, so let her die in Mexico. You know, it was like that. They went to Mexico. And they went to this hospital. They gave her, as far as I can remember, carrot juice. Right? They gave her carrot juice. And took a few months. Then they brought brought her back. I mean, in the sense that she was perfectly fine after that. All signs of the cancer disappeared. They brought her back to the same hospital in the US which had said that she cannot be cured. And without saying anything, they went through all the tests. So they said, why have you brought her here? She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. They said, but these are your reports. Initially, the doctor said, this is fraud. You know, you are playing games. This is not fraud, this is not playing games, it is the same patient. The doctor said, we have no idea, we have no clue. All our tests that we did before, all of them were correct. And this patient, as far as we were concerned, our opinion was that she was not going to live. And how that cancer has disappeared and where it went, we have no clue. That lady is alive till today. Her husband passed away. She is alive till today, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, that is at least 35 years. The reason I'm saying all this is not to tell stories, but to remind myself and you that when the time of death comes, it comes, nothing can stop it, and if it does not come, nothing can bring it. And that is the reason why we have to be very clear in our minds that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the reality of our deeds will come forth. The reality of our deeds will become visible. And the reason I'm saying reality of our deeds is that every deed has two sides to it. There is an appearance of the deed and there is a reality of the deed. The appearance, I just made Salatul Fajr. The appearance of my Salatul Fajr is whatever it is. The reality of my Salatul Fajr is, was this accepted before Allah or not? Is there a difference between Salatul Fajr and some yogasana that somebody else might be doing? Because he's also bending, he's also putting his head on the ground, and he's also sitting up and he's also standing up. Is there a difference between Salatul Fajr and some yogasana which someone else might be doing? Appearance of it may be exactly the same. There is no difference in the appearance. Someone might be looking at the person and saying, oh, this fellow, I never knew he was a Muslim. Because he is performing Salah. And the man might say, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not performing Salah, I'm doing this particular yoga asana which looks like the Muslim Salah. Now, I don't know whether there is some yoga like this, but I'm just saying it can be. So the appearance of something and the reality of that thing are two different things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only look at the reality of that thing. The appearance of a deed might be that this deed is a good deed. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that deed might be the source of earning the anger of Allah. Because this deed was not done with ikhlas, this deed was not done with sincerity to please Allah, this deed was done to please the world or for worldly gain or for money or name or fame or whatever it was. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that deed, instead of being a source of rahmah, is a source of la'nat. On the other hand, there might be a deed which in the eyes of the world might look like a foolish thing. You say, why would this man do this? Why did he give away whatever he had? Why did he do this? Why did he take this particular stand when he knew that this stand is going to get him into trouble? Is he stupid or what? So on the face of it, that particular deed which the person did might look like a stupid thing to do, might look like a foolish thing to do, but that particular thing will earn the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will earn the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran has so many stories like this. Like the story of in Suratul Buruj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Ashabul Uqdud, who were made to jump into the fire, or to fall into the fire. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the story of the little infant who spoke in the arms of his mother. He's one of three infants who spoke in the arms of their mother. And this little infant, when the mother hesitated to jump into the fire because she was afraid for her child, the infant said, jump into the fire, do not hesitate, that fire only looks like a fire, that is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the infant to speak. And he spoke and the mother jumped. So the appearance of something is not the same thing as its reality. And that is the reason why we need to focus on the reality of our actions. Whatever we might be doing, we need to focus on the reality of our actions and say, when this action is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will it look like? Because before Allah, it will be presented in its nakedness. It will be presented in its reality. It will be presented without all the covering that we put over it in order to make it look good. We can give any justification in the world. And may Allah save us. Sometimes knowledge is a source of adab. Knowledge is a source of leading us into the Jahannam, which is exactly what happened with Iblis. Iblis entered the Jahannam not because he did not have knowledge, but because his knowledge led him astray. And this is what happens to us. Because we have knowledge, we are able to give justifications for things where we know there is no justification. But we, because we have knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah and so on, we can find things, and we can find ayat, and we can find hadith, and we can find stories from the and hikayat of the sahaba and so on, which we take and we twist in order to suit the thing that we are doing. It's not to say that the ayat actually tells, the ayat does not tell us that, but we take the ayah and we twist it and we put we give it a shape in order to justify what we are doing, which we know is wrong. We know our own heart, if that heart has any life left in it, if we haven't slaughtered the heart, that heart knows that what we are doing is wrong. There is no doubt in our hearts. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the darkness and stillness of the night, we know what we are doing is wrong. But shaitan has deceived us, and therefore what do? We use our own knowledge, which knowledge should have led us into Jannah. We use that knowledge in order to justify those wrong actions. And an action which is done purely for riya, purely for making money or name or fame, or purely to look good before the people, we make it seem as if this action is being done for the benefit and glory of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know this action is wrong. We know our intention is false. But we, because of the knowledge we have, we twist and turn and we try to justify that. But believe me, on the Day of Judgment, all of those justifications are going to fall away. All of the justification will go, and that action in its ugliness will stand visible to all of whoever Allah wants to make it visible to. So let us fear Allah. Let us fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not do anything which has the potential to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because on the Day of Judgment, that reality will become visible. Let us ensure that our actions are sincere in the inside, and that the reality which we show to the world is also of the same thing. There should be congruence between the externality and the internality. When there is congruence between the two, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to do that what which is pleasing to Him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that which is displeasing to Him, and help us to do only and only that which will be the source of goodness for us in the akhirah, and save us from everything which will make us losers on the Day of Judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.